السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، أما بعد. Since we had a very long Isha Salah, I'll try to speed into this inshallah. That may have been two rakats of Tarawih for us. May Allah reward Mawlana Janet. Ameen. We're going to continue our discussion in different ways and how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach. And another method that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted quite often was having a dialogue, trying to question the listener by asking the listener a question to make you think. Because sometimes if I'm just sitting here and I do it, I don't do it as often because, you know, it's a large gathering. But, you know, sometimes we get you come to a lecture and all it is the speaker is speaking and you're just being told. And, you know, maybe in the beginning you're listening and you're understanding, but, you know, over time you start to kind of fade away. Or some people sit in the back and they sit on their phones and they're deaf and they can't hear. Any case, the habit of the Prophet, yeah, that's my style, I pick on you. I'm trying to help you, I'm trying to teach you, I'm pulling you by your waist. Any case, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, he asked the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in, he says, what do you think, this is his way of teaching, what do you think if there was a river out in front of your door, and five times a day you bathe in that river, would there be any dirt on you? And the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in said, no. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is like your salah. If you pray five times a day properly, if you pray five times a day, then you will have no sins on you. So now, this is a very famous hadith, we understand, just so we don't get too laxed. This references your minor deeds, major sins. You must seek tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they involve the right of another servant, you must seek their forgiveness as well. But as far as our minor sins are concerned, that the example of the river and the bathing is just like when we pray five times a day, our heart is being cleaned every salah. There shouldn't be a person, a believer, who has prayed from the moment he has had to pray, that he has any minor sins on him, because every time he prays salah, his sins are wiped. But the idea we're learning from this hadith is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to question the sahaba to make them think. We find another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which he asked the companions, again, another well-known hadith, I'm giving examples so we understand. The idea of taking these examples is to have more in our head and more to practice them. So one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in, and he says, Man al-Muflis? We all know this hadith, we probably heard it plenty of times before. It's a very common hadith used in a lecture, especially for the young up-and-coming ulama that want to give a bayan and they're not prepared, they generally use this hadith. Man al-Muflis? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking the companions, do you know who a bankrupt person is? Now they answered like you and I answered. Most of the time the Sahaba radiyallahu ajma'in said, Allahu wa rasuluhu alam. But in this occasion they decided to say, let's engage with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we learn it's good to engage with the person trying to teach you. That's why when I speak, I engage with you as much as I can. But you know, some people, they're just accustomed to staying silent. No, the point is I want to teach you. I don't want to just lecture you. So the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in in this occasion said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a bankrupt person, thinking, okay, it's a pretty easy question, he's not asking us something complex, is a person who has no money and no property. No money and no property. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a bankrupt person, a true bankrupt person, is an individual that will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. He will have done so many good deeds. He'll fast, he'll give zakah, he'll be praying salah, he may have performed multiple hajj, but there's a problem. Now I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying this is nowhere near equal to this. However, it's something I've always said. Don't come pray salah, fast all day, and then double park. And then you have this person who genuinely has to leave. I remember last year we had a speaker come, And he was supposed to ask for funds in, for Maghrib here. And then immediately following Maghrib Salah after Iftar, he had to go to a far masjid. So he had to leave. But he couldn't leave because somebody blocked him. So mashallah, you did all this good deed, all this Ramadan, you fasted, you, that day you fasted. You came to the masjid, you prayed Maghrib Salah, you did Iftar. And then what did you do? You double parked. Now you think nothing of it. Now I'm not saying double parking is equivalent to this. However, what I can say, if you double park and you're causing somebody difficulty, then know this, you've caused another Muslim difficulty. That in itself is a great thing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To cause another Muslim difficulty, it's a very big thing. Right? That's why we find in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says, a good mu'min is a good believer. He said, you know who a believer is? Mal saliman, the one who protects other Muslims from his tongue and his hands. So this is an example of a person not protecting others. I digress. The point is, he will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu, and then there will all be all these people that will come and say, he backbited us, he slandered us, he cursed at us, he cheated, he did this, he did that. Remember, being Muslims, it's not that you're just Muslim in the masjid, and then you're not Muslim outside the masjid. We are Muslim throughout our life. How we deal with others should always be also be the way that Allah wants us to deal with others. Not just how we deal with each other in the masjid, that, okay, brother, you can go in the first saf because you really just don't want to be there. But in the dunya, you don't want anybody to get in front of you. You're always trying to push people behind you. But in the masjid, you're so nice, you like to push people to the front row. Oftentimes, I see a space, I sit there and say, subhanAllah, the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in used to vie and compete with one another to go to the front row. And now, mashallah, we're all so pious, we like to let others go before us. The point is, we are Muslim through and through, not just inside and not just outside. So this person will come, all these people will come to him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, well, you did this person, so we're gonna take some of your good deeds and we're gonna have to hand it to him, because Allah's adil, and he must be just on that day. There's no other currency on that day other than your deeds. So he's gonna take your good deeds, or he's gonna take that person's good deeds, and he's gonna pass it on to the person he did something wrong to. And the hadith goes on and says, you know, the problem is, it's not gonna equal out. The problem is, that person has done more wrong than the good he did. So then it's going to be the opposite. The bad deed that the other person has done, the one who he is wrong, their bad deed is now going to be put on this individual. So then this person will be thrown into Jahannam. This is a true bankrupt person. So we must understand that we need to be mindful. And now I'm just going into the tafsir of the hadith. We need to be mindful that when we do something, we're doing good deeds, we're praying salah, we prayed Isha salah behind a very big qari, mashallah, today. We don't want that reward to go to waste. So in order to make sure it doesn't go to waste, we need to be mindful of the backbiting, the slandering. We need to avoid these things at all costs. But the main principle we're trying to learn from here is another way of teaching people, another way of teaching your own children, because this is a way you can teach them as well, is that you have a mutual dialogue with them and have a conversation with them in which you're questioning them to make their brain start to think. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding. Ameen.